So, Menashe and Shmuel, living a fine life, making a lot of money, going for brachas to Leibke. There was a minig in this town that by Menashe Weiss's house, every year on Purim, he made a tremendous suda. Now, most of us also have nice, beautiful sudas on Purim, but by Menashe, he made for all the aniyim and all the ashirim, and everybody would come to his house. It would be like an open house for 4 or 5 hours a day. People would show up, they'd drink, they'd eat, he'd give out a lot of tzedakah, and actually he'd give even more than he used to because he was more affluent than he was before. It was unbelievable. Well, this year, once again, Menashe made this tremendous suda. House was prepared beautifully. Tables are set up, tables and tables. He had waitresses and waiters, people to set up. He hired maybe 3-4 cooks to make the most beautiful meal. And the people started to come during the day. A lot of people would stay, but some people would leave in the middle. And here it is, in the middle of this Purim, this joyous Purim, he had a couple of members of a band playing a little bit, and they're playing, and everybody's drinking, and everybody's getting happy. And right in the middle, one of the Ashirim says, Menashe, tell us the secret. And he goes, what are you talking about? What secret? He says, come on, Menashe, tell us the secret. You always are a very wealthy man, we know that. You're always very affluent and a big baltstalker. But in the last year or two, you became loaded. All your businesses boomed. We noticed that your mamish, you're maybe 3-4 times richer than before. Menashe thinks a minute. Oh, you think so, huh? And people say, yeah, come on, tell us the secret, huh? Come on, you have a, what do you got? You got something? You're saying a certain capital, tell them. You have some good investors that you have for you? Come on, tell us the secret. We also want to know. Menashe laughs a little bit and Shmuel runs right over to Menashe. He says, Menashe, don't tell them. And Menashe is sitting there, goes, no, Rabbi Sais, you have to dishmaya, you have to be mispal. And Menashe is pushing them off, but as he's pushing them off, he's of course once again taking another drink. It's Purim. About a half hour later, again they start up and come on, Menashe, you could tell us, come on. And again Shmuel says, don't tell them a thing. And Menashe is listening to, don't worry. Well, but 3 or 4 cups later, Menashe's a shtickel high, which he gets on Purim, but nobody ever asked him this question. And once again, the people are really, they really want to know. And they feel that he's hiding something from the fact that Shmuel keeps running over every 20 minutes to tell him not to tell. That must be a good proof. And again, they go, Menashe, come on, tell us the secret. Menashe's now is a little woozy, he's a little happy, he gets up, he's okay, Rabbi Sai, you want to know the secret? And Shmuel goes, don't do it, Menashe, please. And we're like, Shmuel, quiet down. Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? Who do I think I am? Shmuel now gets up. Do you realize that I am the vice president of this corporation? I am the vice. Don't you notice my furniture? Haven't I showed you my mahogany desk and that big, beautiful, beautiful couch and the big chair? Yes, you've showed us, as a matter of fact, monthly. Monthly, you make announcements about that. We all know about your desk, and we all know about your furniture, and we all know about your business card. We don't know exactly what you do in this business, but we do know that you're definitely a vice president in name. That's for sure. And Menashe is laughing, the people are having fun. But again, I come back to Menashe again. So come on, Menashe, you're going to tell us. And Menashe, I'll tell you the truth. Don't do it, I'm telling you. Quiet down, Shmuel. You're still only the vice president. How nice your furniture is makes no difference. Let me tell the Eilim. Rabbi say you're not going to believe it. And everybody gets quiet. There's like absolute silence. Quiet. Everybody quiet in the back. People are talking. Menashe's going to tell his business secret. Don't you want to hear his business secret? Everybody's quiet. The whole place is silent. I'll tell you what it is. Don't do it, Menashe. Quiet, please. He says, it's Leibke. 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 All the people. Leibke. Leibke. Leibke what? Leibke, you know Leibke, everybody knows Leibke. And there's Shmuel going crazy. Don't, Menashe, please. Gentlemen, Shmuel jumps up. Gentlemen, Menashe's very high right now. Please, do not listen to anything he's saying. He is saying these things under duress. He's saying it under the influence of alcohol. He's saying it under the affluence of alcohol. I'm also a little bit under the influence of alcohol, as a matter of fact. I'm telling you, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's telling over some chalayim. Sit down. Menashe's now getting a shtickle more tipsy. It's Leibke. Leibke Mora Shchaira. You gotta be crazy. What are you talking about? Leibke Mora Shchaira. Now the place is laughing. What a Purim spiel. Now they're all laughing. Shmuel goes, yeah, Leibke Mora Shchaira. You gotta be, you're out of your mind. Who is laughing with them? What kind of crazy idea is that? Who would ever think Leibke? What Leibke Mora Shchaira? What? You don't believe me? Every time before I go on any business trip, I go to Leibke. I give him money. Gives me a bracha, and the business booms. You don't believe me, ask Shmuel. and everybody's laughing. Shmuel, is that true? She goes, of course it's true. I mean, of course it's not true. I mean, I'm not even sure. Can I have another drink? Can I have another drink? Shmuel, don't lie. It's Lebke. You and I both know it. You remember the time we went the first time? I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm talking about? You don't remember when the business was going to be taken over by the banks and we got a better interest rate? You don't remember when they were going to quadruple our rates on the store that we were renting? You remember that story? Huh? That story is vaguely familiar. Vaguely familiar. Vaguely familiar. You don't remember. The vice president can't remember the details of the business. Maybe I'll revoke your vice presidency. You can't do that. You're under the influence of alcohol. You cannot do that. And the people are laughing. How could it be? It's not Shaykh Shmuel. It's not Shaykh Shmuel. Leans over to Menashe. It's not Shaykh. Could you please keep quiet and stop telling all the people this? You look like a fool. Are you calling me a fool? I didn't say you're a fool. I said you look like a fool. Nobody, I told you nobody would believe you. Why are you telling us? He gives a clap on the table. You don't believe me, Rabbi Yisai? Well, let me tell it to you now. And Leibke Moir Shaykh is a tzaddik. Oh, now the place is rip-roaring. The one that grunts, the one that makes... Yeah, he might make sounds. And Shmuel goes, you mean the one that goes, whoop, whoop, whoop. Quiet, Shmuel. No vice presidency for you. You open your mouth again. I take away my furniture, you think? Quiet, no furniture. Oh, I'm quiet. Leibke Moir Shaykh. You call him Moir Shaykh. And he looks Moir Shaykh. And we get scared at him. And when we come close to him, he makes sounds. But let me tell you something. He's a tzaddik, and his brachas work. Can't be, people ask me, can't be, what? He's a Moir Shaykh, he never... Oh, yeah? Chaim Zev, get up. Well, what do you want? Chaim Zev, you've come to me many times. You have a problem, don't you? Everybody here has problems, but you have a problem, don't you? You know that farmhouse you got because a creditor didn't want to... Somebody that owed you money didn't want to pay you, took over that old farmhouse? Yeah, what a dilapidated... Oh, man, what a... Nobody goes near that house, right? You're trying to get rid of it. Yeah, and who's the genius that put a well in the middle of that? Built a house around a well, the most ridiculous thing. That's right, and you took a big loss, didn't you? Yeah, I did a big loss. Why, you want to buy it? I don't want to buy it. I'll get rid of it for you. Oh, how are you going to do that? Go to Leibke for a bracha. Go to Leibke for... What are you... The place is rolling again. Oh, go to Leibke. You're going to get rid of the farmhouse. That could be a nace if anybody would get rid of that farm. That would be a miracle. That would be a miracle. That place is... Even my furniture wouldn't help. Such a place is terrible. You don't believe me? Why don't you try it? What are you afraid of? Well, I'm not afraid of anything, Chaim Zev says. Oh, you're not afraid? So why don't you go right now? I'm sure Leibke is sitting right now, right in front of the shul. Why don't you go right now to Leibke? Put in money and ask for a bracha. Everybody goes, now people say, yeah, why don't you go? Why don't you go? I'm afraid of Leibke. You're afraid of Leibke? What are you afraid of? He's harmless. Did he ever do anything to anybody? No, but I'm just afraid of him. Well, you want to get rid of house? Go to Leibke. No, it can't be. It's not true. Go to Leibke. And now all the people are saying, yeah, go, let's see. Taka, let's see. Everybody stands up. Shmuel goes, yeah, go, let's see if it works. Let's see. Wait a minute, I know it's going to work. You don't have to go, I'm telling you. It's a whole thing, it's a joke. Sit down, Mr. Vice President. Oh, I'm sitting down. He referred to me as Vice President. Sit down. Maybe I'll have another drink. This is the worst thing you could have done, Menashe. This is the worst thing. Could I have that bottle again, please? That's the worst thing, but this stuff that I'm drinking, this is good. Did you drink this, Menashe? I know you did. That's why you're doing this silly thing. Tell him not to go. Chaim Zev gets up. I'm going. Menashe calls one of his children. He calls one of his children and says, Beresh, you go with Chaim Zev. Make sure he goes to Leibke. Beresh walks with Chaim Zev, and there's Leibke sitting right in front of the shul, like he always is, with his tin cup. It's Purim. Nobody's going to be near the shul yet. Mincha is not going to be for another couple hours, but he's still sitting there. Chaim Zev is coming close, so all of a sudden Leibke looks up. Chaim Zev is getting nervous. And Beresh goes, what are you nervous about, Chaim? Chaim Zev, there's nothing to worry about. You went to Leibke many times. You passed by over here many times. Just give him money and ask for a bracha, like my father told you to do. All right. Chaim Zev goes over. Leibke goes, oh, he's mamish making noises. Leibke, I need a bracha. The farmhouse, the dilapidated farmhouse on the corner, down over there a few miles away that I own. I have to get rid of it. This mamish making me a loss, a financial loss. I need a bracha. Please, could you give me a bracha, Leibke? He throws a coin into the cup. Leibke looks up, he composes himself. V'matzliach. This is the first time that Chaim Zev saw Leibke ever compose himself. That in itself, Dave, is a miracle. Turns about the bed. Just, did you see that? Not Lipk again starts. Oh, we better go. He's running away. Already. He's coming back to Menashe's house. And all of a sudden, he sees this Polish guy. He's walking down. This Alta Pilotchka walking down. He says, ah, hello, hello. Yes, what can I do for you? Well, on my way to town, I was noticing a sign a couple of miles away. There was a sign that said, Old Farmhouse for Sale. I'd like to buy it. You'd like to buy the sign? No, not the sign. I'd like to buy the old farmhouse. And if I'd offer you a new farmhouse, you wouldn't want to buy it? What are you, a real estate agent? You're trying to sell me something I don't want? You know that there's nothing as good as the old stuff. The stuff today is terrible. Terrible stuff today. You ever see a pig pen today, the way it's made? It breaks in 2 seconds. I want the old farmhouse. Eh? Don't try to trick me. Sir, I have good news for you. I can't believe my ears, but I have good... I own it, and I'm ready to sell it to you. You are? That's great. There's one problem. I got to be up front with you. I got to tell you the truth. There's a well right in the middle of the farmhouse. There is? That's wonderful. It is? That's great. That's what I wanted. I was going to dig a well myself. Don't you see the advantages of having a well inside? No, I didn't see the advantages, and tell you the truth, neither did anyone else. What do you mean you never heard of an indoor pool? I never heard of it. That's my next thing. First indoor well, then indoor pool. But you keep quiet. You don't tell nobody. I'm going to have indoor well, and then I build my indoor pool. And I won't have to go get water because I'll have a well indoors. Do you understand? Himself doesn't know what this Pilotchka is talking about. He doesn't understand from an indoor pool. He thinks an indoor well is silly. But if this guy wants to buy the farmhouse, it is a nice minashamayim. So you ready? Right now, Sultan. I'm ready to buy right now. Here's the money. How much you want? How much do I want? How much do I want? How much you got? 1,000, I give you a thousand? The thing is worth like 50. 1,000, I give you 1,000 now. Listen. Oh, you want... I see you're not ready. I'll give you 2,000. 2,000? All right, 3,000 I give you. It's all I got, mister. Please, I can only give you three. Please, mister. Oh, okay, I'll take it. Oh, thank you. They signed the agreement right there. He walks away. 3,000 he's got. It's unbelievable. He comes back. He comes right back to the suit that people see. Do you know what happened? You can't believe it. You're unbelievable. I got 3,000. He starts taking the money out. He's got 3,000. 3,000. He's got 3,000. 3,000 for that farmhouse? That can't be that. That can't be that. Look. I'm, and look, bearish. That I, yeah, I got 3,000. An older Polish guy came. He offered me 1,000, 2,000. Gave me it's a nace. It's Mama Shanae. How did it happen? I'm telling you, I went to Lipka. He composed himself. He gave me a bracha. And that's it. And Mama, 3 minutes later, I was on my way. This Michigan Polish guy. He comes walking down the street. He offers me 3,000. 3,000. Did you tell him about the well inside? Yeah, he sets up with an indoor well, an indoor pool. I'm not supposed to tell anybody. Indoor pool, what kind of crazy thing is that? I never heard of such a thing. Yeah, I never heard of such a thing. I never knew of such a thing. All I know is I got 3,000. He runs up to Menashe. He's hugging him. He's kissing him. 3,000, you know. I for 20 years, I couldn't get rid of it. Lipka's at Sadik. Lipka's at Sadik. People are screaming. The people are, we got to go to Lipka. We got to go let people run out of the place. What happened to benching? We'll be benching it. We got a bench. First, we're going to bench. They're going to line up by Lipka. They start to bench. They better bench good because Lipka's not going to give them a bracha if they don't bench good. If this guy could get rid of that farmhouse, it's a nace. It's a nace, Nikla. Not Mister. It's Nikla. It's before a nace. The people finish benching. They go line up by Lipka. And that's what happens. Everybody gets brachas. And everything that the people ask for, it happens. It's unbelievable. You go to Lipka with a bracha. Answer. He gives you his grunting and his hounding and his hoofing, and as soon as you say, give me a bracha, he composes himself and gives you a bracha, and it happens. It's meiridik. Unbelievable. Months go by, and Lipka's fame begins to grow. They couldn't just keep it in Vilna. People out of Vilna started to find out. People started to come from all over the countryside for brachas. Same story every time. Lipka with his sounds. Gives you a bracha and it happens. Finally, it's found out by the Baal Shem Tov himself. Baal Shem Tov hears an old tailor, beggar, sits in front of his shul giving brachas and it happens. I must see this tailor. I must speak to him. Such a person who's klech, that his bracha works. You must bring him to me now. He calls in a few chassidim. He says, go to Vilna, bring me that tailor. Leip Gemara Shchayri, they call him. Coach comes, pulls into Vilna, comes in front of the shul. People are watching what's going on over here. There's a coach with Hasidim come out. They walk right up to Leibke, and Leibke sees them coming. He starts to make sounds again. They look at him. Are you Leibke Meir Shchaira? Are you Leibke Meir Shchaira? Yeah. The Baal Shem Tov would like to speak to you. The Baal Shem Tov? Leibke heard of the Baal Shem Tov. Everybody heard of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov wants to speak to me. Come with us. The Baal Shem Tov wants to speak to you. Leibke doesn't want to go. The Baal Shem Tov, why does the Baal Shem Tov want me? The Baal Shem Tov wants to speak to you. Finally they say, Leibke, come with us. There's no choice. Take him onto the coach. Drive him all the way to the Baal Shem Tov. Leibke walks into the Baal Shem Tov. He's shaking. He's shaking like a leaf. His mom is shaking in front of the Helik Baal Shem. Baal Shem Tov looks up. Leibke, sit down, Leibke. Why are you shaking? Helik Baal Shem Tov, what do you want from me? He's making sounds again. Leibke, I know who you are. I know that you have the koyach that every bracha you give works. Tell me. Tell me the secret. Tell me the mitzvah you did that gave you such koyaches. Leibke's sitting there. I can't think of anything. I'm a simple person. I was a simple tailor. No, you can't be a simple tailor with such koyaches. Tell me some great mitzvah you did. Leibke's thinking, he can't think. He can't think of anything. I'm a plain person. I don't know. I give a bracha, it happens. Baal Shem Tov says, Leibke, tell me your life story. Tell me the mitzvahs you did. Leibke feels uneasy. I stole mitzvahs. Who am I? I'm a nothing. And he starts to tell him mitzvah after mitzvah. I was a kid. I did like this. And I did like that. And the Baal Shem says, yeah, good. Keep going. Keep going. And he's going through his whole life story. And he's telling him the stories. He's telling him about the trip with Shalom Amzal, and they came to different towns, and he's telling about all the Mishugoyim in the towns, the whole story over. And the Baal Shem is listening intently to every single word, and finally comes to the story about the Duke of the Dungeon. And he starts telling the story how there was a Duke who had a dungeon with Jewish people in it, and the people of the city were depressed, they couldn't get him out, and the people were going to die. And they came, they took Leibke there and Shalom Amzal there, and they made clothing for the Duke's daughter's wedding. And the last night before they left, Leibke went down to the dungeon, and he heard the people there screaming for help, and he got his own money, he gave it to the Duke, and he let them out. The Baal Shem heard that, he said, that's it! That's the story! That's the mitzvah! Leibke looks up, what? That's the mitzvah! Pidyon Shvuyim! You saved a family in Klal Yisrael! You saved them! They surely would have died! What a schus! What a mitzvah! Oh, that explains everything! For such a mitzvah, you get an unbelievable reward. Of course. Of course your brachas work. Of course, it makes 100% sense for such a mitzvah of ice lazing, of pidyon shvuyim, of redeeming a family. Of course you deserve such a reward. Ah, you are tzaddik, Leibke. Leibke, sit down. Leibke, don't tremble. Leibke, listen to me. You'll stay by me now. You'll be a Talmud by me. I'll teach you Torah. Such an neshama like you that has such a schos, unbelievable. Who knows what you could become? The melancholy, the marishchayr should go away from you. And that's what happened. And Leibke stayed by the Baal Shem Tov, and his marishchayr went away, and he became a Talmud by the Baal Shem, drinking from the Baal Shem's Torah, becoming one of his greatest chassidim. And Rabbi Yisai, boys and girls, let me end off by telling you this. Each one of us, in our very own way, have to duplicate and emulate the midas of Leibke Meir Shchaira. Listen to what he did. He went for 2 years. He worked to make this money. And at the last minute, the day before he was supposed to go home, he gave it all away to save another Jew. We, in our own way, also have such situations. We have situations where we have time. Time by us is very important. We go to school the whole day, we have homework at night, and our free time is valuable. Very valuable, just like Leibke's money was valuable. But we know there are children that need our help. We have to help them learn. We have to help them with the Chumash and help them with the Mishnayos. That's giving up something precious. That's being like Leibke Meir Shchaira. And we know sometimes we have a chabura of friends, a chaverim, and we don't want to include anyone else. This is the sanctity of our chabura, our chevra. And people are left out. But it's important to us, this chevra. Open it up to someone else. Make someone else feel good. As important as it is, that's like the midah of Leibke Meir Shchaira, giving up something that's important. That's what we can emulate. And I'm sure you could figure out other things in your daily life that you could give up. Give up for someone else. And that's the message of Leif Gemara Shchaira. And that's the message I want to leave with you. You should always remember it. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for listening. And have a safe trip home. Goodbye, everybody.